If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. This is God's word. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What are you afraid of? There's a lot of scary stuff happening in our world right now. Here in our own nation and all around the globe. Christians are being slaughtered in many parts of the world. Christians are being imprisoned in many parts of the world. Church buildings are being demolished in some countries, China notably. Even churches that had been legally registered with the government, being demolished by the government. Ministries in places like India being attacked. Christian families dragged out of their homes, or in some cases, church services interrupted and people dragged out and beaten. All kinds of bad things happening. In our country, we're not seeing as much physical violence, though there have been some attacks on churches. But we're seeing attacks through the government. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court just participated in a decision that said, essentially, if you have a casino in Las Vegas, then you can only have, according to the governor of Nevada, your casino can only operate at 50% capacity. But if you have a church in Las Vegas, like Calvary Chapel does, then you can't have more than 50 people inside. And so Calvary Chapel appealed for an injunction, and the Supreme Court of the United States, with Chief Justice John Roberts, ruled that, yeah, that's legit, because we've got a health problem. We've got a serious problem here as far as people's health, and we've got to protect the public. And so no more than 50 people allowed in church at a time. Now, if you had a casino, well, you know, business is business. The money's got to keep rolling in. And so casinos can operate at 50% capacity, even if that's hundreds of people. That's okay. That's okay. You know, as long as it's only 50%, we'll let that go. But can a church operate at 50% capacity? No, we're going to limit them to 50 people. Now, I'm happy to say that some of the other justices very eloquently ripped the Chief Justice opinion. Okay? And the reason is because they're not wicked wolves. We have some good people in government. But the bad guys have taken their masks off. And there is open, vicious, systematic, aggressive, increasingly nasty attack being made by many in government on anyone who dares to proclaim the gospel. Tim Tebow, God bless him, he was one of the first NFL guys to kneel. In modern times, he was kind of the first. He wasn't kneeling during the national anthem. He was just kneeling at other times because he wanted to pray. That was ruled obnoxious, divisive, self-righteous. Don't do that, Tim. Now we have people who are standing for the national anthem called obnoxious, self-righteous, divisive. What's going on? Well, Tim didn't talk about kneeling. He just wanted to share the gospel on Twitter because he knows there are many people out there right now who are having a really tough time, and this is a great time to be sharing the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. So Tim did a little message on Twitter, and Twitter banned it, saying that it might be offensive to some people. Okay? It wasn't a political statement. It was just sharing the gospel, but that's too much for Twitter. I've had two of my posts on Facebook, which, again, I'm not a huge fan of Facebook, but it is a way that you can reach a lot of people as long as you're careful what you say. Two of mine have been taken off. Friends send me things and I click on them and, oh, Facebook police already took it off. There's aggressive censorship going on right now. If you want to say, burn America down, well, that's okay, freedom of speech. If you want to say something like, Jesus Christ is Lord, well, that could be offensive. So, should we be scared? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I want you to look again at this passage from Mark because it is vital if you're going to live sanely as a child of God in this world. Verse 35, Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." And then he went down into the stern and took a nap. Okay? He's sleeping on a cushion, and a storm comes up. Now, I want you to realize the guys in the boat were not a bunch of sissies. A bunch of them were commercial fishermen. They knew this lake. But this storm was so fierce, it's described here as a furious squall. In other words, it's like the weather was mad at them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Yeah, but they didn't really have a problem. They were just imagining this. No, it was real. Luke 8:23, describing this, says they were in great danger. They were in great danger. The situation they were in was a dangerous situation. The circumstances they were experiencing were frightening circumstances. It wasn't an imagined problem. So, what's Jesus going to do? Well, he's sleeping. Do you ever feel like you're in the middle of a scary situation and God is silent? Jesus doesn't seem to be paying attention. It's as if he's gone to sleep or something. The Bible tells us God does not sleep, God does not slumber. The Bible also tells us that Jesus was not only God, he was man. And let me tell you something about us men. I don't know what you ladies do while we're sleeping, but we sleep. Actually, I know that ladies sleep too. I'm married to one. But I'll tell you something. Jesus had already taken care of things before he went to sleep. Because what Jesus had done was to tell the disciples, let us go over to the other side. That's God's word. Jesus had already said what's going to happen. We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Let me tell you something about the circumstances you may find yourself in. However frightening they are, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, he has already declared the outcome. We're going to make it to the other side. So, well, Pastor Wood, didn't you just say a few minutes ago that there are Christians who are being killed for their faith? Yeah. And so how are they doing now? Those who were killed for their faith, what kind of shape are they in now? Well, they're dead. No, they are more alive than they've ever been. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm telling you, one of these days, it may be 40 years from now because I've got some genes for longevity, but one of these days, I'm going to be physically dead and more alive than ever. When you know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. And Jesus knew that he had come to die on the cross. So it wasn't going to happen in a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. And having said that, he could sleep through a storm. The disciples, not so much. They were terrified. They had his presence with them. He's with us. I love the songs that we sang. I'm not alone. He's there. But even though we know we have the presence of God with us, sometimes it seems like he's not paying attention to our circumstances. We got waves coming over the top of the boat. What are we supposed to do? And so their conclusion was, maybe he doesn't care about us. And they asked him when they woke him. I'd love to have watched the discussion where they're deciding who's going to wake him up. You know, has it gotten bad enough that we need to wake him up? He looks like he's really sleeping. I know he's been tired. He stays up all night praying some of the time. You know, he's just spent a lengthy period of time preaching. But I think we need to wake him. We've got to wake him. Crash another wave over the boat. Yeah, let's wake him. Okay. So they go down and they wake Jesus up with this question. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, I don't think they said it like that. Do you? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? I don't think that's the way it went down. Okay. I wasn't there. But I'm just guessing it was more like, teacher, don't you care if we drown? What do you think? I think that was pretty much the way it happened. And Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. I don't think so. He gave an order. Quiet. Be still. And you know what the wind and the waves did? They went. I love Jesus. Now, when the disciples saw this, they said, oh, phew. Boy, that was scary. Is that what happened? No. As scary as the storm was, when they saw the response of the storm to Jesus' command, They became terrified. Now it's even scarier because we've got something. That storm was strong, but we got somebody stronger in the boat. I'll tell you, if you really get to know Jesus, you will realize he's stronger than death. He's stronger than an earthquake, a tornado, a hurricane, a Supreme Court, a corrupt governor, phony preachers, networks, whether broadcast or social media. Jesus is stronger than all of them. And when all of them gang up together and say, "We're going to destroy him," Jesus doesn't say, "Oh no, oh, what am I going to do? There's too many of them." There's an old spiritual people used to sing back in the previous millennium when I was young. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Still today. And whatever people do to try and lash out, whatever they do to kill God's people, God already said that was going to happen. You read the book of Revelation and the martyrs crying out from under the throne saying, "How long, O Lord?" And the Lord says, "Well, there are more who are to be martyred for my name's sake. But the time is coming when it'll all be over. The time is coming." Now, I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you trusting in him? I would hate to be in danger of dying for something I didn't believe. You know, wouldn't that be sad? Oh, hey, I really wasn't a Christian. I was doing what I had to do in order to get along with those people. But I'm really not one of them. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. Corrie ten Boom told her father, I don't think that I have the courage to be a martyr, to go through persecution. Her father said, "Corrie, if you're going to see your aunt, when do I give you the money for the train ticket? Do I give it to you a month in advance?" "No, Papa." "When do I give it to you?" You give it to me at the station." He said, "God will give you the grace and the courage you need when you need it." So, Pastor Wood, I don't know if you're aware, but there are a number of children here, and some of them have been through kind of frightening situations in the past, and they might, you know, this might not be a helpful message for them, because you're making it sound like if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be ready to go through scary things. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me be real clear. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to be prepared to go through some really scary things. Okay, I don't want to be ambiguous about that. Are you trying to scare us? No. Was Jesus trying to scare these guys? No. Jesus was teaching them not to be afraid. The goal was not for them to be afraid. It was for them to not be afraid. Oh, that's a strange way of teaching. If you follow Jesus, you're going to go through scary stuff. If you don't follow Jesus, you ought to be afraid. You're going to go through scary stuff too. And the difference is, there's no hope. If you go through the scary stuff not as a follower of the Lord, but just kind of, you know, trying to keep myself safe here. Okay, I'm going to do whatever I have to do in order to get along, and I'm going to try and make people like me, and I'll say what I need to say in order to please them, and I'll do what I need to do in order to stay out of trouble. I'm just going to try and avoid danger. Won't work. It won't work. You think that people out... Let me just tell you something. This is tragic. More people, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, more people have died by suicide during this epidemic than have died from COVID. Here in our country, more people are killing themselves deliberately by suicide than are dying from COVID. It's tragic, all the people that are dying from COVID. But folks, it's not nearly as many people as are just giving up in despair and taking their own lives. Why would somebody do that? Because they're finding life unbearable. It's just too frightening. It's just too depressing. Many of them feeling isolated. Many of them filled with anxiety, and it's just like, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to end it all. Having such thoughts and having such feelings is something many, many people experience. But giving in to them is tragic and wrong. If you struggle with thoughts and feelings like that, don't just bottle it up and keep it to yourself and hope nobody finds out. Talk to somebody who cares about you and let us help you. But if you say, well, nobody cares about me, that too is a lie from the enemy. In this place, you're surrounded by people who care about you, whether you're young or old. But Jesus puts us in situations that will teach us not to be afraid. We've said this before. I'm going to say it again, over and over, because I want you to learn it. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage doesn't mean I don't feel fear. Courage means I'm not governed by fear. I'm going to obey God instead of my fears. I'm going to live on the basis of faith, not on the basis of fear. I'm going to trust Him regardless of whether or not the waves are swamping my boat. Jesus would make it clear to His disciples over time that you don't even have to have a boat. I like boats. Yeah, well, apparently Jesus did too. He traveled in them. But you don't have to have a boat. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? You remember the story of Jesus walking on the water? This is not that story. This is a different situation. But the disciples had been told to go to the other side in that story too. And they're out there in the middle of the night, and it's dark, and there's a storm, the wind is against them, they're trying hard to get across, and they're stuck. And Jesus walks out there on the water to meet them. And they said, oh good, here comes Jesus. No, once again, when they saw Jesus, they were terrified. Why is Jesus always doing those things to scare people? He's not doing it to scare people. But fear is the natural response of people who don't know Him as well as we should when God starts to move in supernatural ways. Heard a testimony from Denzel Washington, the actor, just the other day. He was being interviewed by A.R. Bernard, a black pastor in New York City, who's a wonderful guy. And Denzel said that the first time he really experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life terrified him. It terrified him because it was so overwhelming. He was more comfortable with a Christianity you kind of believe, you know, you believe this, and you try not to do too much bad stuff. He said, I wasn't really ready for a long time to yield myself to the Lord. And he said, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I was terrified because it was so overwhelming. I was walking my dog myself. Denzel's story is over. I'm moving on now. I was walking my dog. I was a teenager. I'd been praying for God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. But when God poured out His Spirit on me in a way that I'd never experienced before, I thought I was going to die. Literally. I thought I was going to die. And the thought that came to my mind was a headline in the Black Mountain newspaper. Boy dies on mountain receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was my first thought. My second thought, you know, all these thoughts occur in nanoseconds. You know, it's kind of like a dream. You know, you think you were dreaming for hours. No. How do they know? Well, rapid eye movement. So my first thought was, Black Mountain News carries the story, boy dies on mountain receiving baptism of the Holy Spirit. My second thought was, no, they won't know what happened. Okay? I thought, you know, they'll find the body, but they won't know that it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that did me in. And my third thought was, you're not going to die. God's not doing this to kill you. God's doing this to empower you. You've been praying for this. Let me tell you something. When Jesus did what he did, he solved their problem. But they were more scared of him now than they were of the problem, because they hadn't really, really grasped who he is. They were terrified, verse 41, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They discovered the power of his word. Now the same Lord who said to the wind and the waves, quiet, be still, had said to them, let's go to the other side. But they had not learned to rely upon his word. There are going to be times in your life, if you're serious about following the Lord, there are going to be times in your life when all you will have to go on is the word of God. You won't be able to get encouragement from other people. You won't be surrounded by folks here saying, trust the Lord, he's faithful. You may find yourself like our friend Andrew Brunson in a prison cell where you're the only Christian and you're there because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Because a hostile government, in that case Turkey, is keeping you imprisoned. And you don't have your brothers and sisters in Christ surrounding you, encouraging you. And you don't feel joy. What do you have to go on? Well, you're not alone. And God's given you his word. This is one reason we want you to memorize the scriptures, is because there will be times when you have to really draw hard on that. You go to God's word that you've memorized, and you claim his promises, and you trust in him, not your feelings, not the circumstances, not what other people are telling you, not what a government that's hostile to truth says. You go to him, and you say, Lord, your word says this. I believe you. I trust you. I'm depending on you. In Joshua chapter 1, we've looked at it before, but I want to remind you. Joshua chapter 1, The Lord is commissioning Joshua to lead his people. And the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. That's verses 5 and 6. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey. In verse 8 of chapter 1, he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Stay obedient to the word. Have I not commanded you, the Lord says, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then God spoke at the end of the chapter through God's people, saying, be strong and courageous. Folks, don't be afraid. So, well, you've made it sound like things could get scary. Oh, okay, well, again, let me avoid ambiguity. Things are going to get scary, okay? I'm not saying they may get scary. I'm saying if you live, things are going to get scary. And when things are scary, are you going to try and rescue yourself? Or are you going to depend on the Lord and His word? If you believe His word is true, you need to obey. The wind and the waves obey Him. Why? Because of who He is. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. Well, if the wind and the waves obey, what do you think we need to do? Obey Him. Obey Him. Obey Him. Obey Him. Pastor Wood, you spoke of having an experience with the Holy Spirit that was pretty overwhelming. Yeah. You said that happened when you were a teenager? Yeah. But you'd been praying for the Lord to fill you with His Spirit for some time before that. Yeah. So do I need to just start praying for the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit? Well, that's a very good thing to do, is to pray that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. If you're not, you need to get saved first. Okay? How do I get saved? You ask Him to save you. You recognize that you're a sinner, that you deserve God's wrath, and that instead He loved you and sent His Son to take the punishment you deserve. And that Jesus, having died for you, rose again and is alive right now. And if you call out to Him and say, Lord, save me, forgive my sins and change me, He'll do it. How do I know? Because He promised, and He keeps His promises. His word cannot be broken. Okay, well, if I ask Him to save me, don't I receive the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Well, so what are you talking about that after you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit? I received the Holy Spirit when I was saved. God poured out His Spirit on me in a way that was miraculous and unanticipated when I was in my teen years and about to start a public ministry. God knew the plans He had for me. I didn't. But I'll tell you something. That very day, God began to speak to me about the fact that I could have received that outpouring of His Spirit well before that. But I was asking God to do what He said He wanted to do in His Word, and then waiting in unbelief. What if I had prayed and asked the Lord to save me and then stood around waiting, saying, I wonder if He'll do it? I mean, I asked Him to save me, but I don't know if He saved me. I mean, how can I be sure? I haven't felt anything. The world still looks the same. I still have zits. Okay? Boy, if you ever think you have a problem with your complexion, you should see my photos from 11th grade. I had just finished preaching, and adults were telling me that I had done a good job. And one kid came up, and he said, do you have measles? True story. I hope he got saved eventually. But I'll tell you something. God has promised that he'll fill us with his Holy Spirit and commanded us to be being filled with the Spirit. If you earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you don't need to wait until you have some overwhelming experience like I had because I was a blockhead. I needed that in order to know that God had done what he said he would do because I was a blockhead. Remember, my first thought was, this is going to kill me. Stupid. But I want you to understand something. You don't have to wait until you feel something. You don't have to feel forgiven in order to be forgiven. And you don't have to feel full of the Holy Spirit in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to put yourself in a position of utter dependence on God and do what he tells you to do. And when you are yielded to him, that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with anger, it means anger is controlling your behavior. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means the Holy Spirit is controlling your behavior. You just yield yourself to him and say, Lord, have your way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't have to feel goosebumps. I just want to do what you want me to do. I'm yours. Lord, have your way. And you know what? He'll take you up on that. Don't be afraid. Whatever comes, whatever happens, do not be afraid. Trust in God, believe his word, and do what he says. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your magnificent grace. Thank you that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, you made us alive in Christ Jesus. Help us to truly trust and obey. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.